of fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's Paul speaking to Timothy. Today, I want to add another text that we didn't see last week, but it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 in the Amplified Version. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. This is the victory. Say it with me. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. That's what I want to emphasize today. Faith is the victory. Thankfully, as we're sitting here this morning, we are not in a place like Syria or Pakistan or China or even in West Africa, Burkina Faso. Last week, there were 6 or 7 Christians, including the pastor of a church, that were killed by extremists. They went into the church, armed men with guns, lined them up, and said, we demand that you renounce your faith in Christ. And they said, no. And they were all shot. And it's happening as we're sitting here. The church is being persecuted. And thankfully, this morning, we're not asked to surrender our lives. We're not at that point in the U.S. It could happen someday. But we are not at that point where, you know, somebody standing here this morning, secret police, or somebody with a gun saying, I demand that you renounce your faith. Swear your allegiance to the government. Swear your allegiance to this dictator. Or else. But even though that's not our battle, there are battles for our faith going on. Even though we're not in that situation, our battle is just as real. Because even in the midst of affluence, even in the midst of the good old USA, the devil is at work to try to rob your faith. He wants to steal the faith from your heart. He wants to dishearten you. He wants to discourage and wear you down. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take up the shield of faith this morning. If your hands have been a little limp, if you've been a little weary, if your knees are sagging a little bit, I want you to be encouraged today because the God that we serve has not forgotten you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 says, the battle that we fight is not a carnal battle or the battle of this world. We don't fight with guns and weapons and machetes. But how many of you know we are involved in a fight? It's a spiritual battle. Everybody say, it's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power. Our weapons are divine weapons. They're supernatural weapons. Our weapons can demolish every stronghold of Satan. Hallelujah. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our battle is sometimes in the mind. Our battle is because of the influence of the world. Our battle is sometimes our own flesh, because our flesh and our natural instincts are pressing against us and calling to us and demanding of us that we act a certain way, or that we give up, or that we go along with the world, or we realize that, there's no point in having faith anymore. We're being tempted to doubt. We're being tempted to throw in the towel. We're being tempted to give up. I know this is true because I talk to people all the time. As a pastor, you get to hear people's stories, and you know what they're going through. These battles, these temptations, the Bible says, are common to mankind. We all struggle with these things. The people in Nehemiah's time, we talked about this last week. Nehemiah was called to restore the walls of Jerusalem, to restore worship in Jerusalem. But they faced 3 enemies of faith. Do you remember what they were? Fatigue, fatalism, and fear. Fatigue. We're tired of doing this. Remember when the people of Israel were marching through the wilderness and they're going around that mountain, around and around and around? The Bible says that the soul of the people became weary, became discouraged, because the way was very long. It was a long journey. And the enemy will try to bite at your heels. He'll try to send, you know, things to annoy you, things to frustrate you. He'll try to be like, you ever get frustrated with mosquitoes and flies and things like that? It's like, they're so annoying. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God what the purpose of mosquitoes was. What is the purpose of mosquitoes? I don't know. But because of all of these things, I don't know what your battle is. Maybe it's not having enough checks, you know, when the end of the month comes and there's not enough in the checkbook. Maybe it's when the kids are acting up. Maybe it's when you're facing personal struggles, discouragement, headaches, ill health, whatever it might be. All of these things can lead to fatigue. Fatalism is the attitude that, what's the point? Que sera, sera. What's going to be is going to be. What's the point of trying? What's the point of believing? How many of you have ever been tempted that way? Come on, be honest. How many of you have ever been tempted that way? What's the point? And then fear. They told Nehemiah and the people that when you least expect it, we're going to come in among you. We're going to do a surprise attack. They tried to spook the people by making them feel afraid, like looking over their shoulder. He's going to attack at any moment. The next thing you know, they're like paranoid. It's like when you go into a dark room and, you know, all of a sudden people say, what is that shadow? What is that over there? Oh, I think I heard something. No, you didn't hear. Yes, I heard something. I did something. And before you know it, you're all like a nervous wreck because you're all fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And then we talked about last week that many people who have been doing so well and fighting so valiantly, after a while, even they sometimes become weary. This was the case in Nehemiah's day. I read a story about a woman who was a famous swimming, long-distance swimmer. Her name was Florence Chadwick. In 1952, no woman up to this point had ever swam from Catalina Island, which is 26 miles, about the length of a marathon, about 26 miles, from the coast of California. Catalina Island to the coast of California is approximately 26 miles. No one had ever done it before. She got in the ocean and she tried, and she did so well. She had trained for it. The water on the Pacific coast, as most of you know, is much colder than the East Coast. And after 25 miles, she only had 1 mile left, fog came in. A fog rolled in. And she's looking, and she became disoriented, didn't know where she was, and her mind was telling her, give up, give up, give up. She didn't realize that within another 15 minutes or so, she would have been on the shore. And so she quit. Fortunately, a year later, she went back. And this time, she prepared her mind. No matter what, I'm going to continue going. Hallelujah. I'm going, I guess that's east at that point. You're going from west to east. And not only did she conquer that that challenge, she went on to swim the channel, the English Channel, both ways. She became known all over the world. You can look her up. She's in Wikipedia, Florence Chadwick. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. The end is in sight. The answer is in sight. Your future will be better than your past. Your ladder will be greater than your past. Last week we mentioned the two primary ways that we can strengthen our faith. One is by trust. Trust has more to do with an internal attitude. I'm just reviewing this morning a little bit before we go into the next part. Trust is something that doesn't necessarily show on the outside. You could have three people sitting here in the front row, and two of them are really trusting God, and the other one is anxious and a nervous wreck, but you can't tell from looking at them on the outside. Trust is an internal thing. I believe. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Trust is like not taking matters into your own hands. Sometimes it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. Trust is not panicking. Trust is not taking revenge. Trust is not confessing your doubts, but instead confessing your faith. Hallelujah. Joseph trusted. Even though his brothers betrayed him, he decided to trust God for his vindication. Some of you have been hurt by people, and there's a tendency to want to get back, to strike back. But God says, trust me. I'll take care of things. Hallelujah. There were three young Jewish men in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king said that if you don't bow down and worship this statue, that you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, we are told by God we shall not worship any graven images. We're not going to bow down to your statue. And he said, well, you're going to be thrown in the furnace if you don't. They trusted God, even to the point that if it kills us, we're going to trust God. Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. Trust is a powerful thing. Trust is a manifestation of faith. Are you with me this morning? And then the other one was obey. Trust and obey. Obey is often seen in our actions. Obedience sometimes is demonstrated in what we do. For example, Noah, being warned by God that a flood was coming, got up and built a boat. That took a lot of faith, especially when it hadn't rained yet. There was no rain yet on the earth. And the people are asking, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat? Because there's going to be a flood. How can there be a flood? We're living in a desert here. God told me there's going to be a flood. How many of you know Noah had faith? Abraham went out, left his father's family, left his household, and took his wife and his nephew Lot, and they went to a land that God showed them. They didn't know where they were going. He was a pilgrim, a stranger, in a land that he would later on inherit. Some of you came to the United States in faith. You came here by faith. You left someplace else to come here to Florida because God gave you a promise. Some of you are here at Catalyst Church because you believe God sent you here. Hallelujah. And God's going to fulfill his word to you. There will be an accomplishment of what he has promised. But today I want to leave you with these facts. I want you to notice that faith gets God's attention. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that believeth must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are two times in the Bible when God was amazed. I know I've said this before, but for some of you who are new, poke your neighbor and say, listen to this. This is going to be good. Turn to your other neighbor and say, Pastor Dave's getting deep now. This is real deep. This is real deep. We may not understand it, but it's deep. What does it take to get God amazed? Now, God created the universe. It's like, did you ever say something to somebody and say, oh, you know what we did? We went to the theme park and we tried this ride. Oh, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. He goes, oh, I went and I visited California. Was there? Oh, yeah, I've done that already. Oh, I've tried this new food, you know, the keto diet or whatever. Oh, I've been there. I've done that. And it's like, what are you going to say to God that he doesn't, you know, he's impressed with? What is going to impress God? You can't think of anything that you could do to impress God. But yet, there are only two times where it says in the Bible God was amazed. This is, the first one was in Matthew 8:10. When the centurion asked for prayer for his servant. And he said, Jesus said, okay, I'll come to your house. And the centurion soldier, this is a Roman now, not a Jew. He says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, the Bible says, was amazed. Astonished, it says in that translation. He was amazed. He said, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So when he saw great faith, it impressed him. Faith gets God's attention. Faith, our faith, impresses God. Now, I'm not talking about a fake faith, like, you know, doing something foolish like climbing on top of a building and say, okay, I have faith God's going to catch me if I jump off the building. That's lunacy. That's not faith. I'm talking about faith in His Word. I'm talking about faith in His character. I'm talking about faith in His promise. Hallelujah. I'm talking about faith in His goodness. I'm talking about faith in His mercy. I'm talking about faith in His blood. Somebody give God a praise in the house. Faith is only as good as the object you place it in. You know, I've told this story before. We could have three strangers sitting here. One of them is a famous surgeon. The other two of them are construction workers. And you can't tell the difference because they all look the same. One of them is a famous surgeon. He's had thousands of successful surgeries. The other two are construction workers. They look the same. Which one would you want to operate on your child? The guy who knows how to handle a hammer? Or the guy who knows how to handle a scalpel? You're getting what I'm trying to say here. Your faith is only as good as the object it's placed in. I could have all the faith in the world that carpenter is going to be able to do a gallbladder surgery. But guess what? My faith wouldn't work in that case because I put my faith in the wrong person. Is anybody getting this today? Your faith is only as good as the object that it's placed in. Our faith has substance. Our faith has evidence. And that substance and evidence is the realm of God. Our faith has substance. Our faith has evidence. And that realm is the realm of God. Have you ever had time in your life where all of a sudden you knew that something was done? Like God did it before it happened. One time we were praying for a piano back in Valley Stream, Long Island. And we just got married. We couldn't afford a piano, and Angela loved to play the piano. So we started praying. I would go upstairs. We were living in a little Cape Cod house with a slanty roof on and upstairs. It was unfinished like an attic. And I'd go up there, you know, almost every morning, pray a little bit. One morning, I come back down, and I bumped right into my wife at the end of the stairs. And I said, honey, we got our piano. And she's looking at me, where is it? I said, I don't know, but God spoke to me. He said, don't stop praying. He said, stop praying. You got the piano. My face was glowing. I mean, I almost need to put a veil over my face, right? That's getting carried away now. That's not true. So anyway, that week, that very same week, I went to visit a guy who was occasionally come to our church. We knew him through the Chamber of Commerce, the Kiwanis Club. We knew this gentleman through the Kiwanis Club. And I went to visit him because he was sick or someone in his family was sick. And I saw this piano sitting there. I said, oh, how nice. What a nice piano. I said, who plays? He says, oh, my daughter used to play, but she moved away. And we've been trying to get rid of it, but we can't get anybody to take it. I said, well, how would you like if I took it off your hands? This is no exaggeration. $35. We found a mover. This is back a few years, okay? It's a true story, yes. $35. We paid the mover. He brought the piano over, and to God be the glory. To God. God can speak of those things which are not as though they are. Hallelujah. God can give you the substance of the and the evidence of something that's not seen yet. I like the way the Amplified Version says, I think I have it somewhere in my notes here. It says, faith perceives as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. Think about that again. Faith reveals to you internally as a real fact what is not yet revealed to your senses. You know, we like to say, well, if I see it, I'll believe it. But God says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes you have to believe it before you see it. Are you there? So faith gets God's attention. I want to leave you with a couple of things this morning that will help you to continue to strengthen your faith. First of all, and you may want to write these down. You could turn over your bulletin and write them on the back. It's okay to be honest and vulnerable with God if you're struggling. There are times when we all need help with our faith. There was a man in the Bible who brought his troubled child to Jesus. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is in Mark chapter 9. He comes down off the mountain, and his disciples were arguing among themselves. And meanwhile, there was a man whose son was troubled with an evil spirit. And this young boy was being tormented by this infirmity. And the man comes to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, please have mercy on my son." And he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, please heal my son." And Jesus kind of just checks him on that. He says, "If I can do anything?" And the man just quickly corrects himself. He says, "Oh, Lord, please forgive me." He says, "Please, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." I believe. How many of you here believe? Put your hands up. I believe. But just like this man, sometimes we have to ask God, "Help my unbelief. I'm struggling with my faith." So it's okay to be honest. Continue. This is on the still point number one. Continue when you're being vulnerable, when you're being honest, continue to express your faith in your prayers and your praises. Even when you're feeling vulnerable and you're feeling weak, there's something we can do to express our faith verbally. We can pray. We can praise God. Remember, Pastor Angela mentioned last week that praise is faith in action. Praise is faith. You say, "Give me an example in the Bible." Well, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison because of preaching the gospel, not because of anything bad they had done. And they were beaten with whips and rods. I don't know exactly how they were beaten, but it was pretty severe. And then they were put in chains and stocks. And those prisons in those days were not that comfortable. A lot of times prisons were like the sewer of the city. There was sewerage that was running through the prison. Dungeons. But at the midnight hour, the Bible says, Paul and Silas began to pray and praise. They began to pray and sing. Even though their faith may have been weak at that point, they did something about it. They continued to express themselves through their prayer. They didn't stop praying. How about the woman in the Bible in Luke chapter 18? The Bible says, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" Luke 18. "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" And what is the reference? What is the story behind that? It's a woman who wanted justice for her case. And she kept going to the judge. The judge didn't want to bother with her. He was an unjust judge. He was a crooked judge. Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started. Another crooked politician. Come on now. But this woman, even though she was discouraged, she may not have had a lot of faith, but she had a little fist. Everybody, put up your fist. She kept on pounding on that door. "Get up! Get up! Get up! I need justice! I want justice!" She kept on asking. She kept on seeking. She kept on knocking. Hallelujah. Even when your faith is weak, you can keep on asking. You can keep on seeking and not give up. Somebody say, "Don't give up." Don't give up. Number one, is it okay to be vulnerable and yet in your vulnerability continue to pray and praise? Number two, keep reading the scriptures and reciting the scriptures. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Joshua 1:8 says, study, this is God's instruction to Joshua, study these books, this book of instruction, the word of God, continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. The word will build your faith. God says, "My word will not return void." My word will not return void. The word that I speak from my mouth, it will accomplish what I send it for, the purpose for which it is sent. Be encouraged today. Some of you are weary. Some of you have been waiting. Some of you have been seeking for a long time. This message is for you. It's got your address on it. It's got your name on it. Special delivery. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Special delivery." Special delivery. Keep on reading the stories in the scriptures of the heroes of the faith. And also the modern day heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34. Here's some examples of heroes of the faith. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through what? Faith, say with me, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Watch this. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Their weakness was turned to strength. Because they kept on persevering in their faith. They were human beings just like us. In James, the Bible says that Elijah was a regular human being just like us. And yet he prayed. When Elijah prayed, even though he was a vulnerable human, fallible human being like us, when he got discouraged, he got so depressed he wanted to die. He was suicidal. Elijah was suicidal. He said, that's it, Lord, I've had it. After Jezebel, you know, swore to chase him and swore to kill him, he became afraid. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Yet, when he prayed, don't give up on God's word. Don't give up on your prayers. There are so many examples in modern history. George Mueller, Mother Teresa, Smith Wigglesworth. Angela and I were talking about her mom when Angela was just a little girl. Her mom was scheduled for gallbladder surgery. She was in tremendous agony. She could not sleep. She couldn't handle the pain anymore. And the doctor said, there's only one thing left to do. You have to go for surgery. And they had to save up. They didn't have insurance. They had to save. This is Pastor Moriello and Grace Moriello from Valley Stream, my wife's parents. And she was at a Sunday night service, I believe, and there was a missionary there sharing his story about the mission work he was doing. And the Lord spoke to Grace Moriello, her mom, and said, I want you to take the money you have saved and give it to the missionary. You mean the money I saved for my gallbladder surgery? Yep. She had a choice. She stepped out in faith. She gave the money. P.S., the next morning, there was no pain. And she never had gallbladder surgery entire life. Somebody say, to God be the glory. We need to be around people like that. This is number three. Spend time with people of faith. Learn and grow from them. Choose your friends wisely. This is part of number three. Choose your friends wisely. There are those who are negative. You can't help that. People you work with, sometimes people you're related to, they're negative, they're cynical. Anybody have any negative or cynical friends or relatives? None of us, of course, in here. Everybody else out there. Not here. Listen to what I'm saying, church. Please stay with me. We only got 5 minutes left. Pray for them, but don't let them influence your life. If you hang with the wrong people, you hang with people who are negative, people who are cynical, people who are doubtful, distrustful, it will rub off on you. It's okay to have them as friends. I'm not saying to reject your friends. But don't let them influence you. You make sure you influence them. Somebody say amen. I can remember the wonderful times I've sat with my Uncle Joe. You've heard the story. Uncle Joe D'Angelo, who passed away 94 years old, served the Lord over 70-something years, was a prisoner of war in World War II, saw God do mighty miracles. His sister, Paulina, some of you have read his story. I think I've given his book to some of you. His sister, Paolina, was dying. She had a stroke at her store in Italy. And the town people were gathered around the store. He was on his way to church. He was stepping up the church steps, and the Lord said, turn around and go to your sister's store. I mean, he was ready to start church. He was the pastor, you know, service time. And the Lord said to him, turn around and go to your sister's store. And so he walks towards the street, and he goes, gets to the street where her little store was, like a little grocery store. And the people, there's a crowd of people around crying, saying, she was such a nice woman, so sad, it's so bad that she didn't make it, you know. In the morning, he walks in, he sees her lying on the floor. Apparently she had some kind of massive stroke or a massive heart attack. And he said, God, he said, let this be for your glory. And he shouted, in the name of Jesus, come back to life. And that woman woke up. That woman woke up. Somebody say amen. You need to be around some people like that. My parents, my dad would tell stories about how Europe was being bombed, and he lived in the southern Europe, and the bombs were coming, and they were running for their lives, and how God protected him. He would have to run in mountainsides and caves and under tables, and God protected them and kept his hand upon them. Spend time with people of faith. Share your stories of faith. Share your story. Sometimes, you know, we ask for testimonies here. There's a reason we ask for testimonies. Because your testimony is going to encourage somebody else. Amen. Amen. Finally, this is the last one. Obey in small steps. Sometimes your faith will grow incrementally. You don't necessarily have faith to see a dead person raised to life. That's massive faith right there. But maybe you have faith enough to believe that God will provide for your bills. Come on now, somebody say amen. Or you have faith enough to believe that God will put you in the right job, or that God will send you the right friends, or, you know, that stubborn cold or that stubborn allergy, that you'll be free of it. Hallelujah. Let your faith grow in small pieces, steps of obedience. Young David, the shepherd boy, learned from his watchfulness of sheep. He was there in the hillside taking care of his father's sheep before he ever took care of God's sheep. Are you with me today? King David learned from the time he was young to have faith. He said, with my own sling, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. When they tried to attack my sheep, I took my slingshot and I killed that lion. I killed that bear. And I believe now God will give Goliath to me as well. Because who is this giant that he should defy the Almighty God? Hallelujah. You need to talk to your giants and say, who are you to defy the Almighty God? I believe there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. I believe God has never lost a battle. I believe God cares about his people. I'm not saying that everything is easy. And I'm also not saying that sometimes we don't know the answer, or we don't know why the answer turned out the way it did. I would be not telling the truth if I said to you that every time I prayed, I got the answer that I wanted. We prayed for Angela's dad for months, and God still called him home. So I want to be balanced in my teaching here. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? It's not a name it and claim it and snap your fingers and God does whatever you want. But sometimes God puts a little bit of fight in you. Hallelujah. And he says, it's not time to give up. Hallelujah. It's time to take out the Bible. Hallelujah. It's time to tell the devil to get off the bus. Hallelujah. It's time to believe the word of God. It's time to believe that God is a good God. Hallelujah. 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 My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Use the little faith you have. Faith is like a muscle. If you use it a little bit at a time, when we first started our ministry at UCF, where's Brother Matthew? Matthew went to UCF. Rebecca, too, right? Went to UCF. Lori's back there. Where's Lori? She's with Landon. Hi, Lori. She's waving from the nursery. Hi, Landon. Hi, Poppy's boy. Okay, don't mind me. The pastor is a little bit weird. We were going to have an outreach for the students. Chi Alpha started in 1994. And I called the professor who was our sponsor, Dr. Thomas Mullen. He was the head of Communicative Disorders Department, Comm Disorders Department. He was the department head and a wild Christian. He was full of faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. So I said to him, I said, we're going to have a little outreach for the students. We're going to cook up some hot dogs, and we're going to do an outreach to give away some free food. He said, oh, that's a great idea. He goes, how many hot dogs did you? I said, I'm thinking about 300. And he goes, why not 3,000? I don't know if I'm ready for that. 3,000? Where are we going to get 3,000 hot dogs from? But folks, as I'm standing here, this is God's honest truth. Little by little, by little, by little, over a period of eight years, God grew our faith to the point where we would have tropical storms would be coming towards Orlando, and we had a two or three day outreach plan, and this is outside. And the weather is like, you know, ominous. It's like this big orange thing that's coming at the coast of Florida. You know how they show you the radar? And they make the storm look worse by turning it into orange or red. They try to scare you. Say the weatherman tries to scare you. Again, God is my witness. We set up a tent. We set up the outreach. And somehow or other, that storm turned around and went the other way. And we ended up getting sunburned to the point where I needed, like, what do you call that stuff? Sunscreen, and I was burnt to a crisp because we didn't expect it. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Take small steps of faith and watch your faith grow. Watch your faith grow. Let's stand and give God a praise. Give God a praise. Amen. Yes. Yes, and Angela's giving the rest of the story. Those outreaches kept growing to the point, you could stand up. Those outreaches grew to the point where one time we had a three-day outreach where between the Salvation Army trucks and all of the other guests that came, we fed about 10,000 students. So from 300, we went to 10,000. Somebody give God praise. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Give him your best praise. Give him your best praise. Praise him like your life depended on it. Hallelujah. Praise him like your life depends on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Pastor Angela, come on up and give the benediction if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, praise is the victory. Praise is the victory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't think we're finished praising. Hallelujah, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, Rabasandarabashia. Lord, let those chains fall as we praise you, Lord. Let the chains be broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. We may be going through a trial. Like Paul and Silas, we may seem like we're in a prison. But you are great and you are marvelous. And you could send an earthquake to shake that place of bondage that we're in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, help our trust in you. I pray, Lord, as people go, that you would remain with them, Lord. And this faith would continue to grow, Lord. Let us take faith-sized portions, Lord, not of our own doing, but, Lord, drop in our hearts what you would have us to do. And help us to obey so we can grow in faith. Help Catalyst to grow in faith, Lord. We ask that we could build that building to the glory of God. And Lord, we ask that we can have 30 missionaries double, Lord God. We ask that we can have a staff that grows, oh God. We ask that our congregation would be full of the Holy Spirit and growing, and that we would see signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you agree with me, friends? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We agree for this in our own lives, Lord. Whatever the challenges we're facing, Lord, we praise you today, Lord. And even times when we didn't get the answers we want, we know you're still God and you are still working. And Lord, as it says in this song, that Satan is a liar and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, that we are broken, that we are rejected in the name of Jesus. Dismantle every stronghold. And Lord, today, let our faith grow in you. We thank you, Lord. Go with us. Shine through us. Touch through us, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. Don't forget to tell the ladies.
Yes, we need those who are participating.